Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Of course, the signs of life from the hostages taken by Hamas is, well, it must be absolutely tormenting for the family, but at the same time, in some way, quite reassuring. Hamas hostage video shows Maxim Herkin and Bar Cooperstein in first signs of life. Both captives' families have asked Israeli media not to publish the clip itself. The officials say the Prime Minister updated on the video and recently spoke to the families. It must be unbearable. Absolutely unbearable. Joining us now is Rabbi Avidan Friedman. He's an activist in Israel. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hi, Shalom, Howard. Good to speak to you.
It's nice to speak to you. And of course, we're heading towards yet another Pesach, a celebration of freedom, with 50, how many are still in Gaza?
59
of which we...
59 hostages.
And do we know how many of those are still living?
24 are presumed to be alive, and we have been receiving more and more signs of life from them, both from Hamas and from the testimonies, although, you know, the, any sign of life is only good till the time that it was
filmed.
It was made, with Israel in heavy attacks now in Gaza, and the situation of the hostages being what it is, from minute to minute, we have no way to know whether those who were alive minutes ago or hours ago or days ago are still alive.
The families of the hostages, of course, are pressurizing government. They're pressurizing Donald Trump. What is their feeling around this latest campaign, which, as you've said, is quite aggressive in terms of a military strategy?
What is their feeling? I don't think it can be described in words. Despair, fear, terror, they know. And, you know, now that we're after the first stage where hostages who were in Gaza for hundreds, for 500 days, have come back, I can't imagine their feeling, where they were being told when they were in captivity by Hamas, Israel doesn't care about you, Israel isn't going to let you go, and then coming back and speaking speaking out. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable that people who were in captivity for 500 days, who were being starved and beaten and tortured, now find themselves needing to go to protests in order to call on their government to do what it takes in order to release their brothers, those people who they spent all of that time. And they know very well that these attacks threaten, put all of the hostages in serious immediate danger of their lives. And you hear them speaking, Omer Venkert and Oed Ben Ami and all of them speaking, and just it's just heartbreaking.
Do they really think that Israel doesn't care, or do they see that it is a different strategy to achieve the same goal, one they might not agree with and one that might make them very fearful, but that it's a different strategy towards the same thing? It's very hard to say with any conviction that Israel doesn't care.
Nobody says that Israel doesn't care. I do think a few things. Number one, there's a question of priorities, and whether fighting Hamas, defeating Hamas, conquering Gaza is a higher priority than the lives of the hostages. I mean, we know that Israel had a way months and months ago already, back in January, really, and certainly by now, this all could have been behind us as far as the living hostages. Israel had a way to bring back all of the hostages. It could have made a decision, and it's a decision that the not all of the hostage families, but many of the hostage families and a significant majority of the Israeli population, by all all poll data that I have seen supports, and that is for Israel to stop the war, to withdraw its troops, to agree to release of certain prisoners, and to get back all of the hostages. That comes at a cost, of stopping the war, of not defeating Hamas in the absolute way that the government has been promised. Then again, we today mark a year since Netanyahu said that we are a hair's breadth away from victory. The way that we marked that year was by 10 rockets being shot from Hamas on Ashkelon. So I think there is a lot of skepticism regarding that idea of completely wiping out Hamas on the one hand, and there is a certainty that the decision not to bring all of the hostages home endangers them. So that's one piece of it. It's not about not caring. It's about a difference in priorities, and it's about a skepticism about the feasibility of this absolute victory that has been promised for over a year, really. And another piece that needs to be put into the puzzle are all of the revelations around Qatargate and the understanding that the people closest to the prime minister during this war have been on the payroll of the country that has been bankrolling Hamas and supporting Hamas and protecting Hamas all of these years. That raises very, very serious questions that we would rather not have to ask, but we do need to ask in a serious way about what are the interests of the prime minister and those around him when decisions are being made.
How much do we? It's a very hard thing to even ask, but how much do we? How concerned are we that the hostages who have been in Gaza and now freed, let's say, you know, for over a year, significantly more than a year, that whereas we can't imagine what they've been through, but that they might have a different sense, and sometimes not always the best sense, because of what they've been through in terms of strategy with regard to the war. How much credibility they have all our love, all our support, all our everything. But when it comes to strategy, Right. Do we give them the last say on it, or do we say, you know, you guys have been through a lot. You might not be in the best position to define the future.
No, it's not a question of giving them credibility as far as strategy. The credibility as far as strategy is to all of the heads of the security agencies in Israel who have again and again said that we are able to make this deal, and it's something that we will, you know, there's never a guarantee of 100% security, but all of the professional heads of security agencies, whether it's the internal security, the Mossad, Tzahal, they've all stood behind hostage deals. Now, they've all also one by one been fired by Netanyahu for not towing his line. But if you want to talk about the professional, as well as the defense minister too, but if you want to talk about professional evaluations, you go to those people. But the thing to give credibility to the hostages is, for instance, they said that when deals have broken down, they suffered. They've said that when Israel attacked, they were in immediate danger and they were almost killed. They have said that after the hostages were freed by a military, by, you know, in the one military rescue mission that succeeded, immediately afterwards their conditions became much more severe and their rooms were booby trapped. So there's information about the conditions of the hostages that we can understand from them, which also fly in the face of an idea that keeps on being repeated and really has almost no basis in reality, that the military pressure is what will free them. Military pressure and then stopping military pressure and then making a deal can free them, but we've already been there, and we were already at the place where we were able to make a deal. And again, a year and a half of extensive military pressure has not brought Hamas to budge from its demand for releasing all of the hostages, which has been the three things that I mentioned before: stopping the war, withdrawing the troops, and that's what it is. Again, that's a decision to be made by the government, which should be representing the will of the Israeli people. Do we stop the war and get back all of the hostages, or do we continue the war, putting the hostages in grave risk?
Rabbi Avidan Friedman, thank you as always. He's an activist in Israel talking to us about the hostage situation. I'd love your thoughts on WhatsApp 0618951019.